So, as I mentioned before, today is, you don't want to have that book on the floor. Today is the disappearance day of, the commemoration of the disappearance day of Swarup Damodar Goswami, Shivananda Sen, and it is also the day of the Rath Yatra in India. So it's a very, very special day. Of course, the Rath Yatra takes place in Jagannath Puri, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent the majority of his pastimes during the final years of his manifest pastimes. And very interesting. Let's tell a few stories about Lord Jagannath and then somewhat about the Rath Yatra. Hopefully we don't go too long because we have a program this morning. So, first of all, people may question why Lord Jagannath looks like he does. In other words, for most of us Westerners, Lord Jagannath looks quite unusual. And the reason he looks the way he does is that Lord Jagannath is experiencing separation from the devotees in Vrindavan. So when Lord Jagannath experiences separation from the devotees in Vrindavan, his countenance, that means what he appears like, manifests that same mood. Because the Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Lord Jagannath, has a spiritual body, Satchidananda Vigraha, as described in the Brahma Sangita. And in that spiritual body, when the Lord manifests the mood, he manifests externally, or at least in the devotee's eyes, that particular mood. For example, when we see the Supreme Personality of Godhead manifests his pastimes as Lord Nrsimhadev, then he looks like a half man, half lion, but it's the same personality of Godhead, the same transcendental body. It's not different. Advaita chuta nadi ananta rupam adyam purana purusham navayovaram cha, as Brahma Samhita describes. That the Lord has, he's one, but he manifests himself in a variety of ways. So Lord Jagannath is experiencing this intense separation from Vrindavan, and this commemorates the time during the eclipse when the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan met Krishna at Kurukshetra, and they were attempting to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. So that intense mood of dragging Krishna back to Vrindavan, along with Balaram and Subhadra, of course, is the mood of the Rath Yatra. So Lord Jagannath is in the mood of Vipralamba. Normally, when we talk about Vipralamba Seva, we're talking about the devotees experiencing Vipralamba. In other words, the intense separation from Krishna and from Vrindavan. But here you see Krishna experiencing Vipralamba. So Lord Jagannath is Krishna himself. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. And Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahayanya. And so during the Rath Yatra, we find Krishna, who is experiencing the mood of Radharani, that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling separation from Lord Jagannath, and then you find Krishna, Lord Jagannath, experiencing separation from Radharani, which is quite interesting. So, in other words, they're both experiencing separation from each other, but they're both the same person. Wow. That is really esoteric. Isn't it amazing? Amazing. The Lord's pastimes are just full of rus, full of taste like that. So, as far as the Rath Yatra process itself, remember, I'm saying process, not ceremony right now. It involves many, many different steps. The first step of the Rath Yatra, or the process of Rath Yatra, begins with the Snani Yatra. Snana means to take a bath. So, Lord, this is 14 days before the Rath Yatra. Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra are given a bath. And during that time, when they're taking a bath, ostensibly, That means externally. They're appearing to get sick because it's not so cold as the middle of the summer. But anyway, they're appearing to get sick. And so the Anavasara period, which follows the bath period, they're actually not manifest or to the devotees. In other words, they're kept in either in a different room or in a section of the altar that's curtained off. And the devotees are feeling separation from Lord Jagannath. In fact, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Jagannath Puri, and Lord Jagannath was separated from the devotees, then Lord Chaitanya left Jagannath Puri to go to a close location because he felt so much separation from Lord Jagannath during that time. So the purpose of that time is many-fold, the Anavasara. One is, of course, that Lord Jagannath appears to get sick and the devotees are wishing Lord Jagannath well and they're giving different teas, herbal teas, and get-well cards to Lord Jagannath. So they're feeling separation. That's one reason for the Anavasara. Another reason is that in Jagannath Puri, that's the time when they renovate, they repaint the deity of Lord Jagannath. Another reason is that Lord Jagannath is not actually sick. That's an illusion that he creates. Lord Jagannath is making believe he's sick so that he can associate with his wife, Lakshmi. Because Lord Jagannath likes to have a vacation sometimes, like anybody else. And so I remember when I was young, I would make believe I was sick so I could stay home from school. I would put a thermometer on top of the radiator. You know, 120 degrees temperature. That's Fahrenheit. Not centigrade. Centigrade, the blood would boil off. So Lord Jagannath did the same thing. That's described by the Acharyas. So after these 14 days with his wife, Lord Jagannath begins to feel more and more separation from the gopis in Vrindavan because Krishna's wives are expansions of the gopis in Vrindavan. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we find that Krishna actually tells Satyabhama and his wives, actually says, I don't really love you, but you remind me of my girlfriends. Because they're expansions of Krishna's girlfriends in Vrindavan. And he said, actually, this is a funny story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. He says, actually, I was planning to be a brahmachari, not to get married. Because Krishna was the best of brahmacharis, even though he was associated with all these young girls in Vrindavan. There was no agitation like this, that he was... It was loving exchange, spiritual bodies. So, Krishna said, I was planning to become a brahmacari, or remain a brahmacari, or whatever, or become, as the case may be. But I got this note from Rukmini Devi. And Rukmini Devi wanted to be saved from marrying Sishupal. So therefore, I got married to Rukmini Devi, so, well, if I'm going to be a grahastha, I might as well marry 16,108. So, this is from the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So Krishna's feeling separation, so getting back to the Jagannath story, Krishna's feeling separation from the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan. And he's thinking, I want to go to Vrindavan. So the main temple in Jagannath Puri represents Dwarka, and there's another temple called the Gundicha Temple, which represents Vrindavan. So Lord Jagannath tells his wife, Lakshmi, that I want to go for a walk. He doesn't tell her I'm going to see my girlfriends. That would be a no-no. He tells her I'm going to take a walk. So she says, okay, you can take a walk. And right before he takes a walk, they prepare the Gundicha temple for Lord Jagannath. And it's called the Gundicha Marjana. That means the cleansing of the Gundicha temple. And when Lord Jagannath, when Lord Chaitanya was present 500 years ago approximately, he directly, personally, would direct his devotees to cleanse that Gundicha temple, and he personally would take his own cloth and cleanse the Gundicha temple with the cloth, the sitting place of Lord Jagannath. And he would chastise the devotees who had not collected enough dirt. He would chastise them in a very sarcastic way. He would say, "Oh, you've done so well," and they would understand they hadn't done well. And so they had to collect more dirt, and then there were lakes or mountain, whatever you describe, of water that was washing the temple of Lord Jagannath, of Gundicha temple, sorry, and it was cleansed. And so that represents, according to Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, that in order to enter into Vrindavan, one has to make his heart perfectly clear without a speck of dust. And that dust, of course, is the anarthas, like kama, krodha, madamatsarya, bharyabhaya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, fear. This is very hard. So one has to make sure it's clean of those things, and those things don't come back. That's called prema. And the absolute stage of prema, there's absolute freedom from the anarthas. In other words, there's no question of them coming back. Even on the stage of bhava, the anarthas can come back if one's not attentive. One doesn't have anarthas, but they can come back. So one has to be extremely attentive, just like Bharat Maharaj. Bharat Maharaj was in the stage of bhava, and he was a little inattentive. He became attached to a deer, and that's it. He took his birth as a deer in the next life. So Lord Chaitanya cleansed the Gundicha temple, and what happened after that is the Lord Jagannath got ready for his walk. So the first thing when Lord Jagannath gets ready for his walk is what's called the Pandu Vijaya. And the Pandu Vijaya is the preparation for Lord Jagannath to come out to his carts. Of course, there's three carts. There's the cart of Subhadra, cart of Baladev, and Jagannath. And in Jagannath Puri, it's like a major festival of Lord Jagannath coming out. I don't know if anyone's seen the Rath Yatra, but there's like jugglers and, you know, all sorts of performances going on. And Lord Jagannath is eventually taken along with Baladev and Subhadra, bouncing on these different cotton pads called tulis, and he's pulled with these silk ropes. And they're bouncing, and Lord Jagannath is rocking back and forth, Baladeva is rocking back and forth, and Subhadra is rocking, and they put them on the carts. And that's, incidentally, the only time that us Westerners can directly see Lord Jagannath. Because generally, they prohibit us from coming in the temple. Of course, Prabhupada said, when he was there, he said, Lord Jagannath is Jagannath, he's not Purinath. So that means he's the Lord of everyone, but somehow or other, there's the system there. And even great devotees like Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Haridas Thakur respected that system because Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami were considered to have lost their caste because they'd been working for the Muslims, Nawab Hussein Shah. And so they didn't enter the temple. So it's not that we should force our way in or disguise ourselves so that we can go in the temple and see Lord Jagannath. And Prabhupada actually said unless they let the Westerners in the temple, then Lord Jagannath will come out and join us. And that's a fact. So Lord Jagannath comes out, he mounts the cart, there's an offering of foodstuffs to Lord Jagannath, and when Lord Jagannath comes out, King Prataparudra, the king of Jagannath Puri, is sweeping the road with a golden-handled broom. It's interesting, and sometimes the ISKCON Rath Yatras, they have Prataparudra sweeping the road in front of the carts, but actually he sweeps the road in front of Lord Jagannath, as Jagannath is coming out before he mounts the carts. Everybody understands that? It's not that he goes along the whole Rath Yatra ceremony sweeping the road in front of the carts. And then Lord Chaitanya, seeing that humility of King Prataparudra, eventually accepted King Prataparudra and enabled King Prataparudra to approach him, and he embraced King Prataparudra when King Prataparudra dressed as an ordinary person. So Lord Jagannath gets on his cart, and he proceeds to the Gundicha temple. So as he's proceeding to the Gundicha temple during Lord Chaitanya's time, the cart actually stopped, and he could not be moved. And then King Prataparudra brought out his horses and elephants and couldn't budge the cart until Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his head on the cart and pushed the cart so the cart could proceed. And so this way we understand that Lord Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were exchanging different loving exchanges and moods between each other on the way to Vrindavan. So Lord Jagannath gets to Vrindavan, which is Gundicha, and at Gundicha, all of Lord Chaitanya's associates and Lord Chaitanya himself sort of manifest different moods. Generally, Lord Chaitanya and Jagannath Puri is very reverent. But when he gets to Gundicha, he and his associates become basically like little children. And they start playing in the different lakes, the Narendra Sarovara, and playing like little children, having fights, you know, splashing water on each other. It's described that Lord Nityananda would splash water on Advaitacharya's eyes, and Advaitacharya would get very angry and yell at Lord Nityananda. So it was like little children playing, and that's the mood of Vrindavan. So Gundicha represents Vrindavan. After 5 days, something else happens. Lord Jagannath's wife, Lakshmi, sort of figures, you know, what's happening with my husband. And she thinks he's up to no good. So what she does is that she actually sends her associates and herself to beat up Lord Jagannath's associates. This is called the Hera Panchami. Panchami means five. Hera is the goddess of fortune. And so she's understanding Lord Jagannath is with his associates in Vrindavan, and the gopis and others in Vrindavan. And so during that time, Lord Chaitanya and his associates dress up, some of them dress up as the associates of Lakshmi, and some of them dress up as the associates of Lord Jagannath. And they have this fight, and they're yelling and screaming at each other, and they're taking sticks. Lakshmi's associates are taking sticks and beating the associates of Lord Jagannath. It's quite an interesting occasion. During that time, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated, I have never seen such jealous anger as manifested by the goddess of fortune. And then he described, this is interesting, he described three types of jealous women. He said one type, you know, is very angry, manifests her anger. The other type is very peaceful, doesn't manifest her anger. And the third type is like mixed. In other words, a little sarcasm there. So these are the three types of jealous ladies, in case any of you are getting married in the future. You can identify them like that. But Lord Chaitanya said that. It was quite an interesting statement. Then, after 9 days, so in other words, after the attack of Lakshmi and her associates, it takes a few more days, 4 more days, for Lord Jagannath actually to come back to the original temple in Jagannath Puri temple. And that is the return Rath. So this is the whole process of Rath Yatra. So today is the going Rath, and then 9 days later you have the return Rath. So that's Rath Yatra. So then, going to the days of these great Vaishnavas, let's take Sivananda Sen first. Sivananda Sen was a businessman. And he would generally maintain the devotees as they were going to Jagannath Puri. Of course, in Krishna Leela, it's described that he was a gopi by the name Veera, which is really nice. And he was a messenger of, or she was a messenger of Srimati Radha Rani. So that was his ontological position, his position in Krishna Leela. So Sivananda Sen, there's many stories about Sivananda Sen, but Sivananda Sen would generally accompany all the devotees or guide the devotees and pay for their expenses on the way to Jagannath Puri, they would go to Jagannath Puri every year to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during 3 or 4 months. And one interesting thing happened on the way to Jagannath Puri one time, which is Shivananda Sen had to stay behind to pay some taxes, and Lord Nityananda was with the party, and Shivananda Sen was late coming back to the party, had not arranged for the prasadam for Lord Nityananda. And as a result, Lord Nityananda was very hungry, or manifesting the pastimes of being very hungry. Of course, Lord Nityananda is known as the Avadut. Avadut means like the wind. He is not exactly an example for us in Krishna consciousness. Neither is Krishna a good example. You know, stealing butter, feeding it to monkeys, passing urine on the floors of the gopis' houses, not very good example. So Lord Nityananda is not our example, except for preaching and being manifesting the topmost compassion. So Lord Nityananda got very angry at Shivananda Sen. He said, "I am very hungry." So this is should not be confused with our own particular moods. When we get hungry, our blood sugar goes down, and we get very angry. But Lord Nityananda, I mean, obviously the Lord's body, Ashnaviram, there's no veins in the Lord's body. The Lord has a completely spiritual body. There's no question of blood sugar going up, blood sugar going down. But he manifested that. He said, "I am very hungry. I am so hungry I could die." He says, "Therefore, Shivananda Sen has not come back, so I curse his child to die." So he cursed Shivananda Sen's child to die. Interesting story. Of course he didn't die. So after a while, Lord Shivananda Sen comes back, and Lord Nityananda does something very unusual. He kicks Shivananda Sen. "I'm so angry." He kicks him in the chest. And Shivananda Sen passes the test. He just is very happy. "I'm very ecstatic. You've kicked me in the chest." Lord Nityananda's, I wouldn't mind getting kicked in the chest by Lord Nityananda. So just, wow, great. And then he feeds Lord Nityananda, and he apologizes. And he actually even says to his wife, "For the inconvenience that we have caused Lord Nityananda, let our son die." I mean, shoo, that is renunciation. And of course the son doesn't die. And then Lord Nityananda becomes very pleased with Shivananda Sen, embraces Shivananda Sen, and obviously it was a test to see. Sometimes the devotees are tested in their devotion to Shivananda Sen. Just, for example, one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to, it was Mukunda or Srivas, that, oh no, Srivas Thakur, he said, "Why do you let this Avaduta in your house?" Jai, Sri Sri Panchatattva, Sri Sri Gornatai, Jai. He says, "Why do you let this Avaduta in your house? Nobody knows what his caste is. Nobody knows what, you know, what his Varna ashram is." And Srivas Thakur said, basically, that even if Lord Nityananda marries a Muslim girl, even if he goes into a liquor store, I will not be deterred from my conviction that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the Lord Chaitanya said, "You have passed the test," and he embraced Srivas Thakur. So in the same way, Shivananda Sen was tested. Another time when Shivananda Sen was on his way to Jagannath Puri, a dog was following them, and Shivananda Sen, this is actually quite an interesting story, because it teaches us that when someone takes shelter of you, that it's your great reason, and it's great, grossly sinful to neglect that person who has taken shelter of you. So the dog, I mean, there's another story about the dog in the Mahabharata too with Yudhisthira Maharaj. So the dog had taken shelter of Shivananda Sen, and Shivananda Sen was feeding the dog. One time Shivananda Sen got delayed, couldn't feed the dog, the dog went away. And Shivananda Sen felt so bad about that, the dog had gone away because it hadn't gotten his food, his prasadam, that Shivananda Sen fasted And that dog, of course, having gotten the mercy of Shivananda Sen, eventually arrived at Lord Chaitanya's place in Jagannath Puri. And Lord Chaitanya was seen throwing coconut pulp to that dog. And the dog was standing, on his hind legs, chanting the holy names, kirtan. Amazing. And because of the mercy of Shivananda Sen and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, that dog went back to home, back to Godhead. So I think that's a very important lesson for us, showing us how compassion and taking care of those who have taken shelter of us is very, very important. So let's see other stories. I have some stories. I already told those two stories. And then, Shivananda Sen had a son, and his son was named Chaitanya Das. And Chaitanya Das one time went with Shivananda Sen to see Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Shivananda Sen, "What is your son's name?" And the son replied, "Chaitanya Das." And Lord Chaitanya said, "What kind of name is that?" In other words, why are you naming your child after me? And Shivananda Sen explained that it was actually a manifestation. I had this realization that I should name my child, and Lord Chaitanya accepted that. So Lord Chaitanya accepted prasadam from the hands of Chaitanya Das and gave him his special mercy. So that's Shivananda Sen. And then as far as Swarup Damodar Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami is known in Krishna Leela as Lalita Devi. So Lita Devi and Vishakha accompanied Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as Ramananda Roy and Swarup Damodar Goswami. And only with them and Sikamahiti's sister, that is 3.5 people, did Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discuss the intimate exchanges of Radha and Krishna. You know, sometimes devotees are so enthusiastic to talk about these intimate loving exchanges between Radha and Krishna, and generally it is not appropriate to discuss these things publicly. Sometimes we go to Vrindavan and then devotees get into too much of these discussions, intimate things, and they even may think that they happen to be a gopi or a coward boy or whatever. But Prabhupada said, deserve, then desire. So these things are revealed to us through serving Lord Chaitanya's mission, through serving Srila Prabhupada's society, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So, so Lord Chaitanya would always associate with these two personalities and discuss these intimate loving exchanges. Swarup Damodar Goswami had taken sannyas from a sannyasi named Chaitanyananda, which is interesting. But he didn't take a sannyas name. His Brahmachari name was Swarup. So he, out of humility, he kept his Brahmachari name. Incidentally, in those days when someone took sannyas, they would shave their sikh off and take away their Brahmin thread. Now one may ask, why would you do that? Well, the reason for that is to show that sannyas is above all the varnas and ashrams. And then in one sense, sannyas means to die, as Srila Prabhupada said. Not to die physically, but to die materially. In other words, you have no more, or you should have no more, material attachments either to your body or the extensions of the body. That's actually what sannyas is. So these are signs of doing that. And also, and during those days, the sannyas that was extant, was present, was the one that was most respected in that part of India was the Mayavad sannyas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others, they weren't Mayavadis, didn't really take Mayavad sannyas because Keshava Bharati was actually a devotee. But they appeared to do that so that people would respect them in their preaching of Krishna consciousness. So that's an example of changing one's dress for the purpose of preaching Krishna consciousness. It's like sometimes devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement, I don't know if you do that here, will put on Western clothes And they'll wear wigs. In the old days, of course, nowadays you don't have to wear wigs. But when I became a devotee, if you didn't have long hair, you were weird. You looked like you came from a mental institution. Isn't it? I mean, so the devotees had these long, shoulder-length wigs when they went on Sankirtan. Not that they were looking like hippies, because even gentlemen, they would wear long hair in those times. People even worked in this place called Wall Street. They would have long hair. So, anyway, so that is why Swarup Damodar Goswami, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and others who took sannyas, they accepted the type of sannyas that was, accepted at that particular juncture. Nowadays, we see sannyasis dressed, I guess, like I'm dressed, and that's not the Vaishnava traditional sannyas. The Vaishnava traditional sannyas would be to have like a lungi or a long gumsha. So we do what's necessary for preaching Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada said, utility is the principle, books are the base, purity is the force. Very important principles. So getting back to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar Goswami, it's described that Swarup Damodar Goswami was the second form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was called Damodar. He was given that name by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he could speak so sweetly and sing so sweetly about Krishna's pastimes. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave him that second name. First name, Swarup, was his brahmachari name. Damodar was given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he was so expert in rasa tattva that before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would hear anything, he would review those particular texts. There's an interesting story about Balabhacharya, Balabhabhat, who presented a text to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when it was reviewed by Swarup Damodar Goswami, and Swarup Damodar Goswami rejected it, and he was very upset about that. Of course, ultimately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised Balabhabhat or Balabhacharya. We don't say these things in front of people who are members of the Pushti Marg because they're followers of Balabhacharya. And Balabhacharya eventually accepted initiation from Gadadhar Pandit Goswami. So even Balabhacharya or the Pushti Marg is actually connected to our Gaudiya Vaishnavism. So he would always review these things before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see them. And let's see, what else about Swarup Damodar Goswami? That's about it. He was constantly with the Lord, and he remained for some time after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu disappeared, but disappeared shortly thereafter. So today we are commemorating the disappearance day of Swarup Damodar Goswami, Shivananda Sen, and the Rath Yatra ceremony. So in order not to go on too long, because we have to leave, so any questions or comments about any of these points? Yes, Sundarananda. Then desire. Yes. Ah, wow, what a radical question. So, all right, the difference between institution and the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Well, what is the mission of Srila Prabhupada? First of all, let's talk about that. The mission is described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishlokam avadavachapi namananantasya cho nikitani yat shrinvanti gayanti janati sadava. That the mission is to create a revolution in the misdirected lives of an impious civilization. In other words, to change society. was it Prabhupada or Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said not to be satisfied until the Supreme Court justices are wearing tilak. In other words, a revolution. Now, peaceful revolution, we're not talking about, you know, what some religions think is a revolution to go around killing all sorts of people or members of different religion. It doesn't mean to convert everybody to the same style of dress. It basically means to teach people about religious principles, which are, you know, the four regulative principles. Nami Fisher, you know about those? Anybody know about them here? No. None of you know the four regular principles. Meat, fish, or egg. Anyway, I won't say. You can ask the temple president later about these things. So, and to chant the Lord's holy names in whatever religion you're in. Not necessarily to stop people from chanting Allah, Allah, or Yahweh, Yahweh, or whatever. But to teach people the essence of Nana Shastra Vichara Naki Nipano Sadharma Samstapako. You know, eternal religious principles. So, to change society, to save the world. I mean, when I joined the movement, that was our vision. Not just to have some temples in certain places sit down and enjoy prasadam, or enjoy thoughts about the Rasa Leela, however you can do that, but really save the world. That was my generation. I'm sure Lakshmimoni would remember that. The good old days. Now we just sit and drink our mint julep on rocking chairs. Chant extra rounds. So that was it. We're going to save the world, change the world. And actually, Prabhupada encouraged us in such a way. I mean, he would say about one of my godbrothers, Balavanta, he's going to become president of the United States. And Prabhupada would go to different countries and he would say, this country is going to be the first country to be Krishna conscious. Several countries he said that. So Prabhupada was giving us a vision. It's not that Prabhupada wasn't speaking the truth, because had we been determined enough, that vision would have been accomplished. That country would have been the first country being Krishna conscious. Balavanta would have been the president, but president of the United States. And that was exciting. You know, I read a lot of these biographies of Srila Prabhupada and the devotees in the early days. So I was reading Shyamasundara's biography. And it's so exciting how he's basically preaching to the Beatles, building the temple at a very place in London, going on recording albums, traveling all over Europe, you know, in different places with a Hare Krishna band. Wow, I'm thinking, when did he sleep? When I hear these things. Because there was this excitement. There was tangible excitement in the air. And that's Prabhupada's mission. Like that. So ISKCON, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is meant for carrying out Prabhupada's mission. It shouldn't be a place for a joint mess, as Prabhupada said, just for eating and sleeping and whatever. And whatever rules and bureaucracy we have in the Krishna Consciousness Movement is meant, we always have to keep that purpose. And in other words, we've spoken about this recently quite a bit. We have to remember the whys. Whys doesn't mean intelligent. Whys. You know, the why. Why are we doing what we're doing? And if we forget that and simply get into the hows and what, there's three things. There's hows, what, and why. How means how you do it, and what is what you're doing, and why is why you're doing it. So the why is the vision. And oftentimes we become absorbed in the what's and the hows. And we don't understand, or we forget the whys, and then we become institutionalized rather than using the institution or being part of the institution for the higher purpose of carrying out Prabhupada's why. That's the problem. I mean, bureaucracy is necessary. I mean, you gotta have it, but there's a danger. Like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, that there hasn't never been an institution that hasn't destroyed the spirit of the religion before. So we take that as a warning to not forget the whys. You know, why are we doing that? And sometimes things have to be adjusted for the whys. You know, certain, not that we break the rules, you know, not the four regular principles or anything like that, but this is the servant, the bureaucracy or the hierarchy or whatever it is has to become a servant of the whys. Why are we here? So that's the difference. You know, and we remain faithful to the institution. And I explain that to many people. People ask me, you know, why do I remain faithful to Prabhupada? Because this is Prabhupada's vehicle for accomplishing the why. Without the vehicle, you know, the vehicle may have a flat tire on it, you know. Hate to use that example. So you change the tire. I mean, how many people, when their car gets a flat tire, you know what a flat tire is, do you just throw the car away? That's stupid. So what a useless car. Let me buy it. I mean, maybe if you're Bill Gates, you can do that. But I just get out of my car and jack up the car and change the tire. So if there's some issues in the institution, we should change. I explain that to people because people ask me that. And we've even had some people say, you know, I'm leaving ISKCON because I can't, you know, ISKCON has so many problems. But if you actually love Prabhupada, you'll be part of the solution. Yeah, there's going to be problems. Or another example Prabhupada gave is like the boat that rocks. You know, I don't know if any of you have been out in the ocean. I have. I used to live in a boat in the ocean, a little boat in the ocean. And it rocks. And I was hanging off the side doing something I can't mention in class. Anyway, I think you understand what I'm talking about. Getting rid of my prasadam. So, in an unfortunate way. But I didn't jump off the boat because in the ocean there were all these nice fins going back and forth. And other nice creatures. I stayed on the boat like that. Of course, after a while I ran away. But anyway, that's another story. But when it got to shore, but in the ocean I never jumped off because it would be worse. So better you stay on the boat, and you know that's probably wanted that. We stay in ISKCON's boat, we serve the mission, and we refine things, we make some mistakes, you know, obviously. I mean, ISKCON is doing great, considering we have only been in existence, you know, for 50 years. We just had our 50th anniversary. That's longer than anyone's been married in ISKCON, basically. But it's like probably ISKCON-wide celebration for someone's 50th wedding anniversary. So, you know, for 50 years. And if you examine it, if you compare it to other religious institutions, wow, we're billions of miles ahead of where they were 50 years after they started, whether you're talking about the Christian church, the Muslims, the Mormons. I mean, the Mormons are 50 years. You got some people marrying like 30, 50 women, you know. We're doing great, you know, with the institution and everything. I mean, there's tweaks and different things we have to do, sure. So we stick with the institution, and I try to correct it, you know. What do they say? The loyal opposition? I'm not really that bad. We got other people who are really the loyal opposition, like Frieda and Andamarsh, but anyway. Yeah.
We have to become Krishna conscious in order to make Prabhupada's mission successful.
Good.
We have our own personal responsibility to become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada didn't say, you don't have to become Krishna conscious, but make everybody else Krishna conscious.
Yeah.
Don't just distribute the books. You don't have to read them. He didn't say any of those things. He said, we have to read them, chant 16 good rounds. You know, be a serious devotee, become Krishna conscious, and give Krishna consciousness to everyone, and in the process of
yes. Good point. That's our personal responsibility. And, you know, sometimes people blame the movement for not making them Krishna conscious. I don't even understand what that means. Because we can personally be Krishna conscious regardless of what else is going on around us. And a very good point that we have to concentrate on, that's our personal responsibility to make ourselves Krishna conscious. And I remember in the past when Prabhupada was present, there were devotees who were so enthusiastic about book distribution and everything, but they didn't chant their rounds. You know, the one leader in our movement. And that's not pleasing to Prabhupada. I mean, they arranged so many books to be distributed or printed, and they eventually left. And of course, they're coming back. Because Prabhupada doesn't forget someone's service. But very important points. Our personal responsibility to be Krishna conscious so we can carry out the mission of Srila Prabhupada. But don't forget the whys. The personal whys. Why am I here? To become Krishna conscious and serve Prabhupada. And why is the movement there? To bring the whole world to Prabhupada's lotus feet. You know, that should be our vision statement. I've been thinking recently about a vision statement for ISKCON. I know now we have, you know, more devotees, happier devotees. But I'm thinking, you know, to bring my vision statement for the movement would be to bring the whole world to Prabhupada's lotus feet. To me, that's much more exciting than more devotees, happier devotees. Because it's just, I don't know. You know, maybe I'm wrong. But, you know, bring the whole world to eternal religious principles to Prabhupada's lotus feet. And I think, because we have to leave by 9:45, so we're going to have to stop right now. So thank you very much, and we'll see some of you at the wedding who are bold enough or brave enough to come to the wedding. It's good that people are getting married. It's very good. It's the stability of society. Prabhupada would only hire married people.